Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Welcome to episode 34 of Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I'm Ken Napsok, and we are live here on YouTube now, welcoming a very special guest host for today, someone that I'm very personally excited to have in because I'm a fan of your work.
Thank you.
And when Maud and I were creating the show back in August of this year, actually, we were at Comic-Con talking about guests and everything. I didn't know you, but I'm like, there's this girl, Jennifer Landa. She makes Wookiee teenies. We have got to get her on the show. It finally worked out. Unfortunately, of course, Maude Garrett's on to other things, but you're here now. Jennifer Landa, welcome to the Jedi Alliance.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a fan of the show. Let's do this.
Let's do it. You are you're just such a passionate, joyful Star Wars fan. That's what when I found your YouTube channel, it was like, here's someone who not just loves Star Wars and knows Star Wars, you clearly love it, right?
I do. I do.
When did it begin?
It began as a young child, as it often does.
Staring at the two suns of Tatooine.
That's right. Looking wistfully. I've been a fan since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're a young kid, you play with action figures, you talk about it, you speculate. And then there gets to that point where you get a little, for me, I got a little awkward. And I didn't feel so comfortable sharing my Star Wars fandom with people.
Right.
You know, and so suddenly I kind of retreated and my fandom became a little bit of a hidden secret.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I was, you know, going into adulthood and I'm like, F this. I'm going to embrace this and not only embrace it, but like proclaim my love for Star Wars.
We had that's a similar path because I had that 40-year-old virgin moment when my friends were at my house going, take all this stuff down. And I was like 22. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's space Legos, man. That's pretty awesome. Okay. Pulled it all down. And about 24, 25, I was like, nope, it's all coming back up.
That's right. That's right.
Now I'm almost 40 and all these Funko Pops are taking up more space in my room than most things. So I totally know where you're coming from. Where's the first time you saw a Star Wars film? What was your first one?
It was Jedi. My parents claim that they took me to the theater to see it. I was very, very young.
Okay.
I cried. They had to take me to the back of the theater. So I have
was
no
it
memory.
Yoda's death?
I have no idea what it was. I don't remember it. But then it's like shortly thereafter, it just became a part of my life.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, playing with action figures with my cousin. Of course, the Ewoks television show.
Okay. I'm seeing a theme. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just became, it was such a part of our culture growing up that I can't remember my life without Star Wars.
Without it?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I was, like I said here before, I was swaddled as 1-year-old baby seeing A New Hope at a drive-in theater. I have no memory of it, but I feel that the Force came into me there, then it just was part of it.
It's magical.
So that was your first experience with seeing Jedi, or your first memory of it comes a little later, but what now would you say is your favorite film? You have 6 to 9 to choose from, depending on what you believe.
Yes, definitely was Jedi when I was younger.
Yeah.
Then as I got older, I would say Empire. I began to really appreciate that storyline. I loved the creatures, you know, the Wampa and Tauntaun and the probe droids, the Battle of Hoth. It was so exciting.
Where's that ring? I just saw that ring.
Oh, yeah, my snowspeeder.
You've got the snowspeeder ring on.
Yeah, Micro Machine.
Awesome.
I love it. I do.
It's
do.
Great.
So, yeah,
so
that
Empire
was...
now.
Absolutely.
But Jedi, especially when you're young, we talk about it on the show a lot. Jedi just had so much. Visually, of the original three, it probably looks the best at the time. So there was so much to overwhelm your senses. And then, you hit that age. Unless you're Maude Garrett or Mark Ellis from Schmoes Know, who just stick Jedi, you kind of go Empire, right?
Yeah, I think
it's kinda
so.
The path.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your favorite character?
Favorite character? Master Yoda.
Okay.
You know, growing up as a teen, I was looking to, you know, find some sort of inspiration, something. And Master Yoda was there.
Yeah.
He would offer such wonderful advice to me. You know, do or do not. There is no try. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Wars not make one great. Yeah.
Yeah. These were great life lessons. And I really, he was like my little Buddha growing up.
Well, because you hear of like CEOs of companies have like Yoda sayings on their desk sometimes, do or do not. You know, they have that. So that makes sense. I love the angle you're taking where you're like, I was a wandering teen through this world looking for guidance, and Yoda, I found Yoda. That's awesome.
Oh man, oh, if only he was real.
he is real.
He's in my heart. Yes,
absolutely. Favorite quotes, and we always like to say favorite quotes that you use in conversation, normal life, that you sneak in when no one's expecting at the line at the fast food place. What are your favorite quotes?
Oh gosh, there's so many.
Right.
Certainly, may the force be with you.
Sure.
And the reason why is because I have used it countless times.
Yeah.
And not just for like, oh, you know, may you be in good health, like may the force be with you, but also in difficult times with people. You know, like letting them know there's a higher power with you. Don't you worry. The force is going to be with you.
This is awesome that you use Star Wars for real world problems, not just quotes at parties. You're like, you're having problems, friend? Let me tell you what Luke said. And that's awesome.
You know, it lightens the mood, if nothing else.
Yeah, and it does. Hey, well, like any great myth in Star Wars, we call it the greatest celebration of the greatest saga ever told. That's what myths and epics do. They are those morality plays of our time. So it would make sense. You're like, come cry on Auntie Jenny's shoulder. Let me tell you about the story of Darth Vader.
That's right.
So do you have a favorite force power? Light or dark? Doesn't matter.
Definitely force push-pull. You know, that is very practical in Los Angeles. Moving those cars.
Traffic.
Moving away. But I do love the Jedi mind trick. I mean, can you imagine
the power, the knowledge?
It'd be kind of scary because I could see myself occasionally using it for bad.
You really?
You seem
like my next question. We know fans know what it's going to be. It seems like I know your answer, but this little dark gray area that's kind of showing up there.
It's there.
You're thinking if it'd be one thing to force push, force pull. You could use it for practical reasons, but if you have something that you can use for pure evil, you might be tempted.
I may be tempted to manipulate in certain situations.
So the final question we always ask here for the five most important Star Wars questions is, would you turn to the dark side of the Force?
I would be tempted.
You would be tempted.
Don't we all, though, have a little bit of Sith in us?
You know, I think so.
There are moments in life where, like when I was planning my wedding last year, I turned into Emperor Palpatine. It was frightening. If I had Force lightning, I might have used it a couple times.
Instead of like a bridezilla, you were a bride Sith.
That's right.
You just turned to the dark side of the Force. And let's talk about that wedding. It got some coverage in the Huffington Post is where I saw it. You had a Star Wars wedding, which fans of you would not be surprised to find out.
True.
Tell us a little bit about the Star Wars wedding, the planning of it. How your husband was like on board, like I'm sure he, either if he doesn't love Star Wars, he has to have some appreciation of it being with you. So take me through that.
It was a really exciting process. I really wanted to go full force, no pun intended, and just go for it.
Yeah.
However, I had to rein myself in. My husband is a fan.
Yeah.
But he's not as, you know, obsessed of a fan as I am.
Okay.
And my mother was very concerned. She's like, you know, is Obi-Wan going to be the officiant? What is going on here?
It's going to look like the Weird Al video, just a bunch of people dressed up in weird characters or something.
Right,
Star
exactly.
Star Wars characters.
Yeah, no. So I reined myself in and we try to keep it classy and just do more like Star Wars touches here and there.
Okay.
But then having my friends at the 501st who came as stormtroopers, that was amazing.
Wait a minute, you know, you actually know some 501st members?
I do.
We've been trying to get some on the show. Maybe we got to talk after.
Oh yeah.
So you actually had the 501st there.
Yes.
That is a legit Star Wars wedding.
Oh, it was literally a dream come true.
That's awesome.
They came out first before I came down the aisle. And so, you know, they flanked on either side and then I walked through them. Oh, it was incredible.
Wow. I I don't know what way I'd go if I was to get married. It's probably going to be a long time before I do, but I don't know if it'd be Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Indiana Jones. I just throw them all into a bucket, shake it up, and have a wedding.
Do it. Do it. Your wedding guests will love it. You know, yeah. It's so unconventional, and it's a treat for them, yeah. You know? It's unusual.
I am going to have a wedding where the band starts playing The Reigns of Castamere and just freak everyone out, but that's just my dark side. So you don't know if you'd go to the dark side, but you'd be tempted.
I would.
My prediction is, even if you dangled a foot in the dark side waters, you'd pull back.
I would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The good is in me.
The good is in you.
It will pull
That's
me
good.
Back.
That's good. We need some good people in the world.
Yes.
Who kind of hold the line. The rest of us are too easily tempted to go dark. Final two bonus questions. Our fans always add some to the top five, so these are kind of new to you. I don't think I emailed over, but what would you say is your favorite Star Wars sound effect?
Ooh. Let's see. Well, there's a couple. I would say the probe droid. So it'd be mamina mamina, mamina mamina, mamina mamina.
I love that because that's a great answer, because one of my favorite little moments in Star Wars is when it's like, scanner, scanner. And like you hear him say scanner. You're like, the droid said scanner.
Right.
Yeah, like Admiral Piet or Captain Piet's like, scanner. It's scanner, everybody. That's great. Do it again. Do it again.
Mamina mamina, mamina mamina.
How many times have you practiced that by yourself in your car driving through traffic?
Far too many.
I love that.
Far too many. And then, of course, it's not really a sound effect, but Jabba. Jabba's laugh.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.
Do it. Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
It's so deep. It's so...
Yeah.
And it's so expressive.
It is.
I always thought that's kind of an underrated part of Jedi is you finally see Jabba after all these years, the special editions not counting, and it's like, that's Jabba, that's the one we're hearing about, and he's just got that personality. He's kind of sarcastic, he's a jerk, but he's kind of like, I just want to party.
That's what I love. He's my second favorite character. I love that aspect of him, that he just seems like, I want to be his friend, but I don't want to get on his bad side.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to live it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what would you say, and you, I think, have a lot of choices, what would you say is your favorite Star Wars collectible item?
Oh my goodness gracious.
Give me your gut reaction, your two, your three.
The vintage action figures my husband actually gave me. They were his as a child. The complete set.
Really?
Yeah, and he gave them to me.
That is the sign that you are to marry that man. So you chose well.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. I don't have any of mine left, tragically, as everyone who knows on Jedi Lines. I lost them in a garage sale of 1984, in a bad business transaction. I really wanted a skateboard. I don't know if I could do that.
Really?
Then again, I am on the dark side.
Ah, well.
Some princess would have to come really steal my heart for me to be like, take it all. Take my Funko Pop. Though... it was a well-played plan, because now you're married, and I'm sure it's all under the same roof, and he still has access to the Kenner toys.
There you go.
Well played.
It all worked out.
Well played. So that is us getting to know Jennifer Landa, the Star Wars fan. There's no doubt she's a fan. That is her story. That is why we asked the five most important questions with a couple of bonuses. So now we're going to dive into our weekly look at Star Wars news. We call it From the Holonet. It's our chance to talk about Star Wars news that kind of popped up since we were last on air. The first one, we kind of talked about the preview last week, but this week, the first issue of Marvel's Kanan the Last Padawan, written by Greg Weisman, was released, and it is next in the line of Marvel Kanan comics. Are you caught up on the comics so far?
I did read The Last Padawan.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I thought the artwork was beautiful.
Yeah.
Left us with a great cliffhanger. So that was exciting.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm on board.
Have you had a chance to read Leia, Vader, the regular Star Wars?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I'm very behind.
Well, get through it. Get to it.
I know. I'm trying. I mean,
we've talked about it here. I think they're doing a great job. The comics, for me, are doing a little bit better job than the novels, though I like Tarkin. Everyone knows I don't like New Dawn. I stand by that. But Kanan, the Last Padawan, for me, is the next to the issues, issue one and two of Vader, it's my favorite of the new ones so far.
Really?
Now, you haven't watched Rebels in depth yet, right?
I have not, no.
Yeah.
But that's the cool thing about the comic is that even if you haven't seen the show, you can still get into the story,
right,
which I appreciated. Although yeah. I believe the first page is a kind of a throwback to the show, right?
And it has some great artwork on Sabine and Hera and Zeb and all those guys, all those characters, the crew, the ghost from Rebels. And I really like the designs there, and it's kind of a flashback with Kanan. And for me, it just, what I really liked, and I talked about it on my supplemental Star Wars show, Spotlight Star Wars, which is on the Knapsack Files podcast feed. I went into this weekend talking about what I liked, and you mentioned the cliffhanger ending. We won't spoil it, but I love that his Jedi Master, Depa Bilibab, which is one of the weirdest names, but they chose that character if she was in The Phantom Menace. I love some of the stuff that she questioned the Jedi's on.
Yes, I agree.
The taking title and rank, that she feels it was a mistake. The Jedi's, they could lead the clones, but to actually get involved to the point where they're generals kind of made went against the Jedi Order.
Yes. I like that. I like that conflict is there, and I'm assuming that will play out throughout the series.
And kind of feeds into Kanan.
Yes.
Who, or at the time, Caleb Doom, before he becomes Kanan.
Right.
But I love the gray areas in those Jedis.
Mm-hmm.
I like, and so funny, I think most Jedis who kind of rise to prominence in the stories all have those gray areas, but they talk about the Jedis who stay on one side and this and that. But Zyfa Dyas and Quinlan Voss and now Kanan. Kanan Jarrus, to me, is one of those Jedis who likes a good drink. Maybe he's dated a few women in his past, and he's still a Jedi, or still trying to find his way, and I'd like to see where it began.
Yes.
And that cliffhanger you mentioned, it's pretty damn good.
I know. Yeah. I'm excited.
Have you had a chance to read New Dawn yet? No, you have not. We talked about it.
I have not, but I know your feelings on it.
But you're going to read just to see if I'm wrong, right?
No, I'm going to read to see if you're right.
Man, I think I am.
I have a feeling you will be.
Maybe. So Kanan, of course, is out right now in comic shops. I highly recommend it. Like Jennifer said, the artwork is great. We got the picture up of Kanan and his master, Depa, with teaching him lightsaber. My lips stick, and I say saver every time, and I sound like I'm five on the playground. His lightsaber, that teaching him kind of the different styles. Do you know any lightsaber fighting styles?
Not really. I can pretend.
That's all you need
to pretend.
Do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you need
That's
to do.
It. Yeah.
Hey, you make Wookiee teenies. That's all I need.
A couple of Wookiee teenies, and I'm really good.
How did you stumble on the Wookiee teenie? Did you create that?
Yeah.
So, again, guys, I want you to, not now during the show, but go to Jennifer Landa's YouTube page. She's got so many great Star Wars stuff up and some other stuff, too. But
thank you.
The first thing I saw was you making this Wookiee teenie. I want one. I should have had you maybe make it here. Maybe next time. But how did you stumble upon it? How'd you do it?
I was trying to come up with Star Wars drinks that would be fun, like actual cocktails from the Star Wars universe. So I was like, what would be an interesting cocktail? And it's basically chocolate and vanilla. Mm-hmm. It is delightful. And then I tried to make a chocolate bandolier, a Chewie's bandolier, which it was a little bit difficult, but I think it turned out okay.
It did.
Yeah, it's a fun little accent.
Yeah, you got to kind of pull it out to drink it, I'm sure, but it's fun. Who doesn't like some alcohol-soaked chocolate?
Oh.
Did you have these at your wedding?
You know what? We should have.
You didn't?
We did not.
Do it all again.
I know.
Renew your vows. Get
we'll
it going.
Be there. We'll have somebody. We'll have the bartenders dressed up as Wookiees.
As Wookiees serving Wookiee titties. Next story on the Holonet. Regal Cinemas confirms that the Episode 7 trailer will be in front of Age of Ultron. We kind of knew this, but now to get it kind of confirmed. And then the Episode 7 panel at Celebration, which J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy will be at, it's going to be screened live in 35 screens in over 23 countries. To me, and you're going to Celebration, right?
I am.
I'm going a day late. I won't be there Thursday. But to me, that pretty much, in my mind at least, confirms that I think the trailer's going to drop there at Celebration.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
It has to.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Age of Ultron is what, May 1st?
I think so.
So, and people are going to watch that. It's not going to be like Meet Joe Black where you sneak in and sneak out. People are obviously going to see that movie. But we're talking 2 weeks. You know it's going to come out.
Oh, man. If it does, It has to.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, why else would they broadcast it on 35 screens? Isn't it around the world?
Around the world. That to me is the final. When they announced that this week, it's like, oh, you're preparing for something. They're not just going to be like, did you all like Rebels? Here's a poster. No, something big is coming.
It's going to be big. Yeah, when I found out that JJ was going to be there on Thursday, I was like, oh, they're unveiling something.
Did you ever end up finding him?
You know what? I did. You guys, I actually ended up meeting him.
Yeah.
When was it? Like a month ago.
That's awesome.
I have never been so tongue-tied in my life. And the security guard actually remembered me because in the video I made, I tried to go searching for his office and I was wearing my Millennium Falcon costume.
Right.
And I had some Hoth cupcakes for him to enjoy.
Where are Hoth cupcakes?
I'm sorry, I didn't bring any. But the security guard was very nice at that time. Anyways, he remembered me when I went to the office again. He goes, hey, you're the Millennium Falcon girl. I said, yes, thank you for letting me in this time.
That is it.
And JJ was very nice. He told me, call me JJ, because I said, Mr. Abrams, you know, big fan. I don't really remember what else I said, to be perfectly honest.
Yes, JJ, blank.
I wanted to ask him to be on my show, you know, but the words did not come out. So
no.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you finally found him. So maybe you'll see him at Celebration. Maybe he'll be like, hey, it's Millennium Falcon girl.
Oh, he was so nice. He was so nice and genuine, even though I was just like a bumbling, you know, dork. Yeah. He just, you know, he took the time to listen to me.
That's great.
Yeah, really neat.
That's, I think the franchise is in good hands right now with a nice guy who loves this franchise, who knows how to treat it well. And let me ask you this. You haven't had a chance to be on the show and predict this before. We've talked about it. This next trailer, do you think we're going to see original cast? Do you think we're going to see some of the biggies? What do you think? What are you expecting? What do you want from this trailer, the next one?
I think, yeah.
You think you're going to?
I think I expect that they're going to have some of the original cast. Can you imagine the reaction from the audience? They're going to go nuts. I'm going to go nuts.
So that was my follow-up question is, do you want that?
I want to see a glimpse of it.
Okay.
You know, and I have a feeling that the original cast is more like sprinkled in.
Yes.
As opposed to really dominating the storyline. Yeah, because I think that at least for me, I might be looking at the cast going, oh, they're a little long in the tooth. And, you know, I mean, they're all wonderful. But, you know, obviously we compare them to their.
We've asked that here before in the show, and I think we're going to see them in the trailer briefly, but I'd prefer not to, which is weird. I'm probably in the minority, but I would like my first shot of Han Solo to be when I'm sitting in the theater.
Oh yeah.
But I know that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I've really been trying to avoid spoilers and everything. It's really tough.
It's really hard, especially when lovely fans out there email me or Facebook me spoiler stories. I do not click on them, just so we're all aware. I appreciate the conversation with Jedi Alliance, and you can follow us on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance, but I don't read those spoiler stories. I'm trying hard to avoid it.
Yeah, because you want that magic in the theater, you know, for the first time seeing it.
There was something today I saw getting prepared for the show that maybe the first 30 scenes may or may not have been leaked. You don't know what to believe. I didn't even want to look at the headline anymore.
Yeah.
I want to sit in that theater and be like, you know?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And I feel like JJ and his team have tried to do the best job they can to protect that.
JJ's mystery box.
Right.
He's trying.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's this day and age. This day and age. The final news story, a little brief note, is Clone Wars, The Lost Missions, which is basically season 6 of the Clone Wars after it was canceled, got 7 Emmy nominations, including Mark Hamill for his performance as Darth Bane, which was a tiny little moment, a great moment, because it meant Bane is canon now, officially. But he's nominated for his outstanding vocal performance in that. You're a fan of the Clone Wars?
I am. I think this is a great testament to how good the show was. I'm sad it's gone.
I'm still sad it's gone. Yeah. I get why, and I love Rebels where it ended up. I didn't like it in the beginning. I didn't like is a strong phrase, but it was waiting, and it got to where I think I needed it to be as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But Clone Wars was something special towards the end.
It really was.
And Clone Wars grew too, but
it did. Yeah,
season 6. You caught it all. The Lost Missions.
I did. Yeah,
dark stuff.
I liked that.
Right.
that to me is, I think, what kept me so interested in the show. I loved the whole Night Sisters storyline. Remember that?
That stuff's great.
Oh, it was so good.
And Asajj Ventress and Maul and all that kind of stuff. I love kind of those characters. It's very hard to introduce new things into the Star Wars canon because we fans are so, our expectations are so high. And my argument that I'm kind of now putting out there is we as fans, you mentioned it earlier, playing with your action figures and doing little scenes and speculating as a kid. That's building your own expectations. So you think you know where the story's going.
Absolutely.
So when George comes out with the prequels, you're like,
oh,
that wasn't what I planned.
It was not what I had planned. I will tell you that.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And I kind of think so when the Clone Wars had to expand that universe, they did such a good job. Some of it, look, the shark villain was not my favorite. the frog Republic commander,
oh my gosh,
not my favorite.
Right.
They do have some kiddie episodes. But overall, and that stuff on Mortis and the stuff with Yoda in season 6 of Lost Missions, that's where Bane appears. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You, as a Yoda fan, must have been like, Yeah.
I was glad to see him in that light. I was kind of disappointed by Yoda's appearance in the prequels.
Yeah.
I didn't like him flying around like that.
So, hippity hoppity flying around.
Yeah, that was a little bit much for me. So,
Were you in like the theater with like your Yoda ears on and like a Yoda t-shirt? Like, this guy got me through tough years of my teen years. Like, no? Okay.
No.
All right. Maybe that was just me. So that is from the Holonet. That is the news. Congratulations to the team behind Clone Wars, Dave Filoni, and all those wonderful people who created such a great product. Me and Matt Key, who hosts the Marvel News Show here, we tell the story at Comic-Con this year. We were at the Zach Levi's party,
Nerd HQ.
We were at the party there and ran into Filoni, and Matt and I might have had a little bit of Wookiee teenies in us.
Oh.
And we cornered him and drunkenly were like, hey, how's it feel to have some better than the prequels? And he was like, and we're like, no, man, it's better than the prequels. I love Clone Wars. And he took it like a champ. His friend was laughing, going, he gets that all the time.
Oh, my God.
We're like, well, of course you should, because it's better than the prequels. And then we were asked to leave the party. I'm kidding. No. So congratulations to Filoni and team with Clone Wars. So are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Now, last week, with my co-host Joe Ruggiero and our special guest Joseph Alvarez, we dived into what, to date, is our most controversial Star Wars topic. We discussed racial diversity and gender equality in the Star Wars universe. We started the conversation, and it ignited a little bit of, strong talk in the chat rooms. And I myself lost my cool a little bit. I apologize to any fans, but it was controversial, even above the Defending the Prequels episode with Joseph Scrimshaw. But I think this one, Jennifer,
yes,
might end up being one of our more controversial topics. It is a look here in Force Down at the Ewoks and Jar Jar Binks. Now, I asked you, Jenny, when you come on the show, what do you want to talk about? You can talk about anything in the world. You did not hesitate.
I did not.
You were like, oh, we're talking about the Ewoks and we're talking about Jar Jar. Now, not necessarily to defend one or the other, I'm totally unaware of your take. And you are going to lead this now. You're going to lead me to what you want to say right now here in our favorite segment, Forced On, Ewoks and Jar Jar.
Okay. Well, boy, that's...
pressure's on.
Yeah, pressure's on. You know, I thought about this topic because I have encountered it a lot where I say I love Jedi and they're, I like the Ewoks. And it's like...
Reaction.
Huge reaction. How could you possibly? The Ewoks run Jedi. They were terrible. They're mini teddy bears. People are angry.
Yeah.
And then likewise with Jar Jar, when I actually attempted to blow him up in one of my videos,
that's right,
the action figure, and people were very angry. They love Jar Jar. So it kind of...
Really?
Yes. There are huge fans of Jar Jar out there.
Like, are we talking like ironic Silver Lake hipster Jar Jar fans? Or we're talking like... Because I was at WonderCon this weekend at a party and there was a guy had a Jar Jar shirt on. And it clearly was... He was like, yeah, that's right. That's what I'm wearing.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't believe him. But you're saying you've actually encountered people like... I get we've encountered prequel fans. But even the prequel fans are like, well, you didn't Jar Jar. But...
No. I think it's also, I've noticed, the like a younger generation who they saw the prequels when they were kids. So they thought that Jar Jar was hilarious.
True. Piyosa. He steps in the bantha poodoo. It's hilarious.
And that really got me thinking. I'm like, is this a generational thing? That I just don't like Jar Jar because I was older when I saw him. So I really started to try and break down.
Okay.
What purpose does Jar Jar serve in the prequels? What purpose do the Ewoks serve in Jedi?
That's a smart way to look at it.
You know? And from there, I would try and be fair. And if Jar Jar served a good purpose, well, then I'll have to accept him.
But there's no try. There's just do or
do not,
or get out of the room, right?
Yes, so this is true.
Where do you want to start, Ewoks or Jar Jar?
Let's start with Jar Jar. Yeah.
Says the woman who once tried to blow a Jar Jar action figure up in a video.
Yes. So with Jar Jar, what I think is interesting is he's actually introduced 10 minutes into The Phantom Menace.
Right.
So my problem with that was, you know, I'm watching Phantom Menace. The tone is being established. It's very serious and kind of dramatic tone.
A lot of paperwork being filed already. Yeah.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, you get this ridiculous comic sidekick kind of clumsily enters the scene. And I'm like, what is this?
Right.
Right? So for me, it kind of disrupted the whole tone that the film was establishing.
Mm-hmm.
He also did the Full House saying, "How wooed." Which really, that kind of threw me over. I was like, oh my gosh, what is
that? That wasn't his first line, but that was the first one that stood out to me, like, oh no.
Yeah, they went there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that to me was kind of the problem. And I think that having comedy and comic reliefs in Star Wars, you know, we saw that with R2 and C-3PO, who brought definitely some comedic elements to the film.
Right.
But the difference is that C-3PO is much more relatable as an audience member. You know, if he senses danger, he freaks out and he kind of, oh, I'm not going to enter this.
Right.
Jar Jar does the exact opposite. And it's like, oh.
And stumbles into it, really.
And stumbles into it.
Right.
And it was just so frustrating. For me, it felt very predictable.
Right.
How did you feel?
Well, again, being a little bit older, mid-20s at that point, I was... Not the demographic George intended. And so, like you, he comes around, and we weren't spoiled, but we kind of knew, and I'd raced out to Toys R Us, and I had the figures. And you know, so you're like, okay, and you understand this is going to be some alien creature. And then the how wooed and all that. And it was when he flipped his ears and, like, Ewan McGregor ducks behind a tennis ball, and I was kind of taken out of the movie, though it took me 8 viewings in the theater to convince myself I didn't like Phantom Menace. So, and you mentioned the purpose. It's like, what purpose did he serve? Does he tell part of the story to something? And I still can't figure that out. And though I've come to appreciate the prequels for what they are, we've discussed this on the show a lot, and we will again, and there's a lot of things I really do like in the prequels that I'm not being ironic about. Jar Jar's still the hardest one for me, and it, to me, comes down to the final battle in Phantom Menace. He saves the day accidentally.
Yes. I just did not feel comfortable with all of this.
Yeah.
I never really rooted for him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he's supposed to be somewhat of an underdog.
Yes.
I just didn't like him. I found him to be extremely annoying.
Right.
And then to win by, like, chance?
By accident. Hey, Jar Jar, take it to Blue Ball. And he's like, bah, 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 bah. You know, that's from storytelling, from writing. You want your characters to make a choice to overcome something. And he just tried to hide and got caught, and all these blue balls go down and take out the Republic. So, yeah, it took me out of it, like everyone. Now, look, I feel very sorry for Ahmed Best.
Oh, yeah.
Who did actually a pretty good job of groundbreaking, you know, motion capture acting.
Right.
And you watched, you've seen the prequel, the Phantom Menace documentary on the DVD.
Yes.
Of Phantom Menace, right? Mm-hmm. The one has no narration. It's spectacular. We've talked a lot about here. I watched it again the other night, just kind of in preparation for what I knew you were going to bring to the table here. And Lucas, at one early on, says things like, there's never been a character this funny in the Star Wars universe. There's never been this much humor. It all hinges, at one point he says, and I'm quoting as best I can remember, George says, it all hinges on Jar Jar. He's the most important character, technically, and also just storytelling wise, like, this had to work. And you're looking back going, oh no.
I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Is there anything that Jar Jar did in the Clone Wars or his brief appearances in the other two, and the brief appearance in Sith, anything that he ever did to kind of lessen your confusion about him or dislike?
No, even when he was just appeared quickly in a scene, he took me out of it.
Right.
You know, his voice, and Ahmed Best, you know, I think he's a great actor.
Right.
But his voice was just, I just feel like I was the wrong audience. It felt like he was playing to 5 and 8 year olds.
Which is fine, because not to jump to the Ewoks yet, but one of our regular contributors, Joseph Scrimshaw, has pointed out several times he's a couple years older than me, and I think even Chris Taylor mentioned it when he was on. They were just a couple years older, so when they sat down to watch Jedi, the Ewoks had kind of started. They didn't go right from the get go. They didn't go for it.
Mm.
Whereas a kid, one of my all time favorite moments in Star Wars is when C-3PO sits up and they're all bowing and he's trying to speak, and one of them, one Ewok, turns to the other one and goes, "That guy's wise. He killed me." Like, that was hilarious.
Right.
You know, now I'm like,
right.
Well, okay. But so I can get it. I can get stepping in Bantha Poodoo might attract a 7-year-old's attention.
It was just that slapstick comedy that really just, it did not seem to fit with the world of Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of slapstick comedy in the original trilogy. And even in Jedi, there are some really kind of silly moments.
Fett dying and then the Sarlacc pit burping.
Come on.
Or I should say, quotation marks, Fett dying.
Yeah, Fett dying.
We don't know yet.
Right. But yeah, so I just feel like the prequels had already kind of started off. It was just very serious. And then all of a sudden you have, hello. and maybe that was it too, which I saw someone on some comment board that said, you know, the problem with Jar Jar is that he had that accent, which I know that the accent and the whole, there is a whole controversial side to Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Whereas the Ewoks spoke a different language.
Completely. Yeah.
So there was no like real comparison to something in of our world.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Jar Jar, I could not help but feel a little bit uncomfortable about perhaps a stereotypical portrayal.
Yeah.
You know, a caricature.
Yeah.
That was definitely there for me.
Definitely was. And what do you think, Chris Taylor, in his book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, please, if you haven't already, that is a favorite book here, go out and get it. Chris is great. Please support him. He had the first draft of the Phantom Menace trailer, Phantom Menace script in his book, and it's out there to find on the internet. The first draft, Jar Jar is a kind of wise mentor with no humor.
Can you imagine?
Would you have liked that?
Absolutely.
So you can imagine that kind of purpose to the story then.
Yes, that to me would make so much more sense. You know, we want to root for these characters, and just having this kind of clown and buffoon,
right,
it just made me frustrated as an audience member.
Yeah.
You know?
And you mentioned Jedi, and that's, well, Jedi, I always say, if you watch it, even the original version, it kind of, it's a harbinger of things to come, because there's a lot more slapsticky humor in that. Ewoks aside, there's the Fett stuff and Solo and 3PO when he's tapping him on the shoulder, which is a fun moment,
yes,
but it's, I don't know if that would have been in A New Hope, and it definitely wasn't in Empire. And there's some great funny stuff in Empire and New Hope too, you know, walking carpet and all that kind of stuff. It's the dialogue interplay. So in Jedi, the burps and this and that, I always say one of the best shots of Phantom Menace is before the pod race, when they got all the flags and there's this majestic music playing and 3PO's carrying the flag. The next shot is some creature farting. You had a moment.
And it just diminished it.
And Jar Jar kind of came from that place.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. Maybe there's people out there that really like him because they have that nostalgia, which I understand as an Ewok fan.
I'm looking on the chat room. You guys are chatting great today. I have been watching with one eye, and Commander Grimm says, hey, if Jar Jar had been less, quote, comic relief, it might have been all right. I Am Ninja Panda says, Jar Jar Binks almost ruined the Clone Wars. And I agree. There were some episodes when I recommend Clone Wars to people who haven't watched it, I'm like, you can skip over the Jar Jar stuff if you want to. Even season 6, Lost Missions, there's 2 or 3 Jar Jar episodes. You can kind of move past those. Kyle Harlow says, hurry up, Goldenrod. You're going to be a permanent resident. Yes, that is funny. Great humor from Empire. Not so much of the Piosa. So that. So yeah, I'm trying to find. I'm watching. I can't. I haven't found anyone again. Ironically or sympathetically.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm at best. I want to. If I ever see that guy, I'm giving the guy a hug and say thank you for what you did for the Star Wars universe. You dived in, and he had a little non-Jar Jar spot in Sith. Not that guy's fault. He did what he
it's
did.
Not.
What are you supposed to?
Yeah, can you imagine? I would feel terrible if people felt like, oh, you ruined the prequels.
Well, it's like the Jake Lloyd stuff. That kid is, he has turned into a very seemingly, I don't know him, but you see these videos where he's very bitter, sullen. He should be, because we all treated him very badly as fans. Like, it was this 8-year-old's fault.
It's not his
fault. He was supposed to say, are you an angel? Like, you know. Come on.
I know. Even the great actors in the film came across a little stilted.
Right.
You know? So.
Right. When you got Liam Neeson falling asleep mid-sentence in some of the stuff, that's, you know. Ewoks. Take me to the Ewoks.
Now, see, this is where I am biased. Because I have that nostalgia growing up.
Sure.
I loved the Ewoks. But here's the thing. Yeah, I will admit they're a little silly.
Yeah.
But I feel like it does not disrupt the tone. That much, their appearance.
I would agree with that.
You know?
I would agree with that.
I feel like also for me, when I was watching it as a kid, they kind of look like mini Wookiees.
Yeah.
So I could buy it.
Yeah.
Now looking at it as an adult, it does look a little bit more campy, I would say. You know, their costumes. And I don't think that today we would see the Ewoks. They probably would not exist.
Or they'd be all CGI, which might be even worse.
It'd be even worse. But I feel like that kind of style was popular in the 80s, like 80s films. So I could get behind that.
And are you a fan of Ewok Caravan of Courage and the Battle of Endor?
Oh my gosh. It's been so long since I've seen that. But I loved the Ewoks cartoon.
Yeah, right. And you mentioned that. Yeah, and the droids cartoon. But the Ewoks cartoon was great.
Yeah.
And I'm on the cusp. I love them. Like I said, I love them. That guy's wise. That kills me every time. All that stuff. You're my friend when Wicket says that. I love all that stuff. As I got older and I watched it, a little bit, it's like, can I see their zippers and their costumes? But there's still stuff I love. When we used to do the end memory segment, where we'd end every show with a tribute to a fallen character, which we might bring back, but we did one to Nanta, the Ewok that died when the AT-ST shot him. And like, what a sad moment. There's some humanity, those characters.
I love Warwick Davis has talked about his portrayal of Wicket and how he kind
nailed
of
nailed it.
Yeah, where he
11
was like,
years old.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And he kind of like mimicked, he said, his dog at the time.
Yes.
And that really, to me, made the characters so relatable. Like, I could see that being a real thing, you know, the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And also, they were fierce little warriors.
They were very fierce.
Yeah. And there they were, the underdogs.
Yeah.
You know, if they actually served a purpose, they helped the rebels defeat the Empire.
The rebels needed them.
They needed them.
Yeah.
And I read that originally George Lucas did want the Wookiees.
Well,
he wanted a primitive race, right?
We've all grown up with that theory.
Yeah.
And I see some people in the chat room. But remember, it's kind of been come to light, especially again, read that book, How Star Wars Conquered the Universe. That was more from the first draft of A New Hope or the big Journal of the Wills, and that it never really was intentioned for Jedi, but it just kind of grew as an urban myth we all grew up with.
Mm.
That the Kashyyyk and all that kind of stuff might have factored in. And it's kind of one of those things that's fun to be a Star Wars fan. You don't know what's true or not or what really was going to happen. You only know what ended up on the screen. But we get to see Kashyyyk in the prequels, one of my favorite sequences that it was very short, but would that have had the same impact on the story, though? These big, ferocious beasts that we know can rip arms out of socket.
Right. It would not have been as triumphant, I don't think.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
It really, and especially as a kid when you're watching this, the Ewoks are almost, I mean, they're small. They're like kid size, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it really felt like, wow, these guys are taking them on. Isn't this incredible? It felt like as a kid, I could maybe do that.
Right. It really drove home the low tech over the high tech.
Right.
And you know what? I get it. It seems like, why would a stormtrooper die when an Ewok lightly taps him on the head with a stick or a rock?
Right.
But you can kind of escape in that stuff. And the Ewoks, maybe they're not as primitive as we think.
True.
They're pretty vicious.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to kill and eat Han, as we determined that they're not technically cannibals, that that's not their own species, but they're definitely like their meat.
Right.
They're smuggler meat. I also want to give them credit for being damn fine seamstresses, because they built that dress for Leia. They did that pretty quick.
That was pretty amazing. And yeah. They did her hair. Who was the Ewok that did her hair?
Right. That's the deleted scenes I want. Is some like Ewok seamstress, like measuring things, like making stuff.
Oh, I love it.
And they knew. They knew how to. They just needed maybe a rallying cry or some rebel leaders to take them to defeat their empire, imperial overlords.
Yes. Yeah.
So I like them. What are some of your favorite Ewok moments?
Oh, I do love that first moment. Where Leia encounters Wicket.
Yeah.
It was just like, at the time I was so young, I didn't understand that there was a person in that costume. So
sure.
I was like, how are they doing this?
How do they get this bear to talk?
This is amazing. Is it a puppet? What is it? But yeah, that moment, I loved that.
Yeah.
I loved that.
That's a great, and there's, Harold, that guy's wise. You're my friend. And also when Wicket goes, says he's whispering, I want to translate.
Yeah. Right. You know what else I loved?
Yeah.
Which they changed.
Yeah.
I loved the Ewok celebration, the Yub Nub song.
Yub Nub.
That was
Tommy
the way
Steinbrecker
to end it.
Just said Yub Nub here in the chat room. Absolutely.
Yub Nub.
And again, they're vicious. They're conquerors. They're like the Lannisters. They're playing the helmets of the stormtroopers they murdered.
Yes, and they're great musicians too. I mean, yes.
As a child, and again, now the nostalgia's coming out. And maybe there's people out there who are like, I would have loved to live in Gungan City and said, I sure want to go through the planet core. But I as a child, really had dreams at night of, what if I could live in the Ewok village?
Can you imagine?
Right?
Oh my gosh, it was like the ultimate tree house, you know? They just were living amongst the village and the trees. And
as a kid, like, super tree house is all you wanted.
That was all I wanted. And that medicine man, they told stories at night.
Logray.
Yes,
he's kind of an a-hole. He's kind of an a-hole, too. John Rocha pointed out on the episode 2 weeks ago where he's like, yeah, they make this, Leia comes out, or they just made this dress for her, and she makes this appeal for her friends, and Logray's like, and 3PO's like, no, they're my friends, and Logray's like, yeah, no, keep killing them. Like, we're going to eat this guy. Like, what are you doing? And then Chief Chirpa, like, best thing, I know the characters' names.
Right.
And Tebow, Wicket, of course, we know, and Nanta, may he rest in peace. Mm. One of the saddest moments.
It's such a short moment, and yet that was pretty, that was devastating as a child.
Because in Star Wars, it's not like when I grew up in the 80s with Robotech, I was conditioned that some characters die. Roy Fokker dies 11, 12 episodes into Robotech, and he's this main character, and he dies, and you lose him as a kid. That was something new. In Jedi, or in the whole Star Wars franchise, other than Obi-Wan, really, is there anything impactful in terms of, yes, Biggs and all these guys, but that was like death in your face.
Yeah, it really was.
It wasn't the price of war. Blown up. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That plaintive wail.
I know. So
I'm going to make you cry. I'm going to start crying here, too.
Geez.
What else about the Ewoks? Keep talking. This is great. Your passion for the Ewoks runs deep. I can tell.
Yeah, it does. I don't know. But I think what fascinates me is how people hate them so much.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
And it's grown a little bit. Like, over the years, it's become kind of cool to bash the Ewoks.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know on our other friend, Christian Harloff, and Maude Garrett, and John Campia, went off on a Ewok rant that I very much agreed with, about how he kind of was defending the Ewoks about, hey, enough with the Ewok bashing. So you've kind of noticed that, too, going around the Star Wars universe and the fandoms.
Yeah. And, you know, even though I don't like Jar Jar, I understand that a lot of people do like him.
Sure.
So I try to keep my bashing to a minimum.
Yeah.
But with the Ewoks, I feel like it did not take me out of the story.
Yeah.
They served a purpose. And I feel like they were relatable characters. They were complex characters.
Yeah.
That to me, I'm sold on them.
Yeah.
Jar Jar, I can't say
not
the
so
same.
Much.
I can't say the same.
Not so much. But Ewoks and, when they take over the AT-ST with Chewie, like it's fun moments there. There's so much there, and I really I can get behind what you're saying. I've wavered at times on the Ewoks over the years. Maybe I took some shots or just lessened my like of Jedi because of the Ewoks. But I also believe I never have questioned their place in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right? I mean, how else would it have ended?
Right.
You know. I think it was a great ending.
And I hope the new novel coming out, Aftermath, I hope that when it, the first chapter, it's like moments after Jedi ends and they're all just celebrating still, maybe eating like some kind of turkey leg that they got, you know, Han's just like, this is good post-battle victory. Wedge is kind of talking to Tebow about things, you know, like that. And was Tebow the one... that stole the speeder bike? I think he might have been.
Oh, maybe he was. I love that scene, too.
It's a great
scene. How great was that?
As a kid, you're like, well, that's what I want to do. And then when he swings up.
Yes.
I used to always try to imagine, like, what, when he grabs that and swings up, like, where does he go? Like, is there just a branch and he's waiting, he's got to take another one? There's like some Ewok elevator. And then, of course, as a kid, if you had the Kenner playset, did you have the Kenner playset?
I did not. Oh, I wanted that.
I didn't either.
Oh,
I wanted it. My friend Terry did.
Oh, Terry.
Terry had the Ewok playset. And let me tell you something, Terry. I was envious. My entire childhood, 84 to 87, when we were friends at Margaret Harlow Elementary School, I was jealous of the Ewok Play Village because it had that slide in the tree.
Oh, man.
I always wanted to know.
It was the coolest thing. I have yet to find one, at least intact, you know, for a reasonable price.
Yeah. You're right. I've been scouring eBay for that as well. You can get the Lego set one for $300 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'll get it soon. So is that all you want there? I don't want to cut you off. This is your stuff, but this is a great discussion. Do you realize we just, for about 20 minutes here, talked about Ewoks and Jar Jar? And you guys are pretty good out there. You kind of agree with what we're coming on here to about the Ewoks and Jar Jar. And you guys have been pretty nice and calm to the Ewoks. I like that.
Oh, good. I'm glad to see that.
Adriana Riberti says, Ewoks ate the stormtroopers. You got to think that's right.
Oh, my. Now, see? Come on. That's ferocious.
Yeah.
That makes me like them.
You know what? That's a great, Adriana, that's a great thing I've never really thought about in my 30 plus years of being a Star Wars fan. They didn't just kill them and toss the bodies. They cooked them and served them to the rebels as part of their celebratory dinner.
Charred stormtrooper. Delight.
They'd be making little Ewok YouTube videos of, stormtrooper meals
and
entrees.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Wow.
Stormtrooper kebabs.
That's great. So that is our fourth time for today, our look at Ewoks and Jar Jar. We titled the episode, You Should Know Be Likened to Jar Jar. That is a little bit of clickbait, I'll admit, but some Jar Jar clickbait. Who hasn't done that?
Come on.
So let's move on to Duel of the Fates, which is our weekly Star Wars debate. You can hear it. I'm sorry I don't get as excited as Mod for Duel of Fates, and I know some of you miss that, but I'm always calm, cool, and collected. But in my heart, I'm leaping around the studio like Mod used to do on Duel of the Fates. So last week, I want to recap last week, and I will admit, I got to the studio and I told her, we just met today, and I'm like, I forgot to do my homework. I forgot to tally all of the Duel of the Fates from last week. So last week's, I'm going to kind of go through it quickly and take a general lay of the land. But last week, we asked a pretty simple question, and that is, would you, in a fantasy realm, in a fantasy world, would you, Jennifer, now I'm asking you, want to be part of Rogue Squadron or the 501st? Not the fan group,
right?
But the actual 501st, Vader's Fist. Rogue Squadron, Vader's Fist, where do you go?
I would say Rogue Squadron.
Because you're so good and nice.
Well, also because I feel like they celebrate individuals. I would not be able to speak my own mind if I was in the 501st. I would have to just fall in line.
And as we've learned, like what Vader does to some of the guys who fight with him, maybe not good. I'm looking down, and again, I apologize. I got to get an actual number. We try to do an actual number each week. It looks pretty damn split down the middle of 501st and Rogue Squadron. We got some great comments. L. Christopher Bird, this is on the Facebook page, Jedi Alliance, says, Rogue Squadron never killed a bunch of kids, so yeah, I'm going to have to go with the good guys. I'm trying to look at a good comment here. Taylor Laudron says, 501st Legion, the episode of Clone Wars on Umbara really showcased their ability to come together and work as a strong team. So, you know, that's when they were kind of on the good side there with Fives and Rex and all those guys. Renee Carbajal, one of our fans, says, Rebel scum for life. I think that means he's going Rogue Squadron. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of comments. Nick Widener says Rogue Squadron, then maybe one day it could be a Red 5 or a Gold Leader, plus you can fly an A-Wing. What's your favorite Rebel ship? Putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if you join our secret club that we have here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a secret club. We talked about it last week. It came up quite organically with Joseph Alvarez.
Oh.
I don't know if you saw it or not, so it doesn't look like you did, so... if you'd rather fly, would you rather fly an X-wing,
uh-huh.
B-wing, A-wing, Y-wing, or something else?
Oh, shoot. I feel like that's a trick question.
It's a total trick question. Your answer is whatever your answer is.
I mean, I'm just going to go for the X-wing.
Classic X-Wing.
Classic X-Wing.
Well, if you're in Rogue Squadron, that's kind of their classic ship.
Yeah.
The secret club here is, yeah. Say it with me on the audience, a Y-Wing.
Why did I think that you were going to say that?
The Y-Wing, the bombers, that's what Joseph and I, it was the only ships we had as kids.
Oh, really?
I had to grow up in a lower middle class income family. My mom and dad, they couldn't shower me with gifts. So one year I got a Y-Wing. My friends, probably Terry, got an X-Wing.
Oh.
And so I had a Y-Wing. And I grew to love that Y-Wing. And Joseph last week revealed, same thing.
Really?
Y-Wing. Grew to love it.
Oh, see?
There's a myth and legend behind the great bomber of the Rebel fleet.
That's cool.
But X-Wing's cool. Not a bad answer at all. Rasika says Rogue Squadron got nothing on the 501st, and then he did put up a map of the 501st Legion, the great charitable organization that is literally worldwide.
Yeah.
And you've got friends on the 501st.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Wonderful, wonderful people.
What do those guys dress up as? Because I know they're each kind of specific to what they do, right?
Or
they have multiple stuff?
Mainly stormtroopers. I have a friend that does, I believe, Boba.
Okay. Oh, he's a rock star at cons then.
Yeah. So it's incredible the amount of detail that they put in their costumes.
Yeah.
It's literally like out of the movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd love to be an honorary member. I just don't have the skills to build that type of...
Seriously.
So that is last week's Duel of Fates, but let's get to this week's, and this is going to probably spark an interesting discussion as well. And I love discussing this stuff with you. You know this stuff so well. That's why I felt you were good co-panelist on this question. This week's Duel of Fates. What is the more impactful twist story-wise, and that is key, is it Vader revealing himself to be Luke's father, or is it Leia being revealed as Luke's sister? We can all agree that Vader revealing himself to Luke in Empire Strikes Back, culturally and pop culture-wise, is the bigger one. That is a twist for the ages in movies, but we're talking story-wise. Is it Vader saying, I'm your father? Or is it Luke learning that Leia was his sister? Which one impacted the overall story, which could go into episode 7 too, the most? What do you think? It's a wide open. It is a tough question to answer.
I mean, definitely I would say Vader revealing that he was Luke's father.
Okay.
That to me, it was like a Shakespearean or Greek tragedy. You know, when you have that father and son dynamic, and then seeing Vader die, oh my gosh, and when he took off his helmet, and you see this broken man who is lying there and literally suffering because of his bad choices, dying in his son's arms. Oh, man.
And in the novelization, the one that came out at the same time the movie, that scene is very... It's different. Have you ever had a chance to read it?
You know, I don't know if I have.
If it's been a long time, do yourself a favor. And it's a short read. It's Star Wars, but it's short. But when Vader dies in the book, and how many times can you say that in the Star Wars universe? Like, it's not like Game of Thrones. Well, in the book, it is a heart-wrenching scene because he's describing what he's seen.
Oh.
And then suddenly he feels Luke's tears on him, and he thinks it's like rain and sun, and he's seeing things with his own eyes for the first time, and he doesn't really know what he's looking, because he's dying.
Wow.
So you go through this thing where Luke is crying on his father, and Vader is feeling the tears, and he thinks it's like nature, and he's outside of his helmet for the first time. It is a great scene.
Incredible. That is incredible. I mean, the stakes. It raised the stakes for their last battle.
Right.
I mean, because they were father and son, you know, good and versus evil. That storyline is legendary.
Yeah.
Luke and Leia, the brother and sister, that kind of confused me.
Confused a lot of us.
It confused me. I also love Mark Hamill, so I was like, how could she not? This is just weird to me.
Right.
But I felt like it was more of a B storyline, and mainly because there was no payoff. Like, we didn't get to see Leia develop her powers, really. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see more
Maybe.
Of that. Yeah,
gotcha.
Right. Maybe.
Okay. I'm not just doing it to be counter here. The reason I wanted this on the show is because it's kind of what I think. Everything you're saying is right about the Vader thing, and it's huge. For me, I'm going to go with Leia being Luke's sister because it drove Luke it took his character to the point where he was finally prepared to defeat Vader, and in that death brought what we at the time believed was balance to the Force. So even though I agree, we only had a short time period with it. Mm-hmm. And I think Vader being the father drove so much of Vader's character, and with the comics, that's where you got to take a look at the Darth Vader comic that's out, because it goes into that drove Vader for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, story-wise, and it's, I don't know if you can go wrong.
Yeah,
this is a tough one, a tough duel of fates. But for me, it drove us to the end of that story. And again, it's going to be extended. We'll see what Luke and Leia are, where they are now. But for me, it got Luke over the edge, the final push he needed to leap out of the shadows and kill his father.
That's a really, really interesting way to look at it. And now I can totally see your point.
Right.
It's kind of a tie.
It's kind of a push.
Yeah.
So that is why we debate it here on the floor and bring up our points, but we put it out to you. So we will post that tonight on the Jedi Alliance Facebook page, and then you can go there and comment, and maybe next week I'll actually do my homework and tally it up, and I'll read comments there, and you can also join the conversation on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance, and include us in the conversation if you want, at Ken Napsok and at Jennifer Landa on Twitter, and we'll talk to you during the week, and next week we'll give the results and go into Duel of Fates next week. Now, next week, Mark Riley is filling in for me as I will be in Las Vegas with Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh, and I will be there for 4 days, so I will not be in studio. Mark Riley from Schmoes Know and Meet the Movie Press will be holding the floor quite well. We're going to be planning some fun stuff for that. Other shows coming up, we've got a celebration breakdown, and on May 4th, I can confirm, and I'd like to invite you to it. If you want to come back,
yeah.
May 4th, we're going to have plenty of people here for a long extended edition, because our show is on Monday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. We are going to celebrate Star Wars like we never have before, with a lot of returning guests and panelists, and it's going to be just a long, about 2-hour show of Star Wars celebrating.
That sounds so much fun.
So clear your schedule, kid.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Blow this place and go home. So that's coming up in the next few weeks here on Jedi Alliance. Jennifer.
Yes.
This has been fun.
That's been a blast.
Did you have fun talking a little Star Wars?
I loved it. This is great.
This is great. And hopefully we'll see some more of you here in Jedi Alliance, because you are a great fan, that I know. But to dive in deep on Ewoks for 20 minutes is a skill not many people have.
I don't know whether to be proud or ashamed.
No. Proud, proud, proud. Now, you will be at Celebration, correct?
I will be, yes, yeah.
You're going to be there the whole run?
I'm hoping so, yeah. Definitely Thursday. I'm going to try and get into the JJ panel. Right. I doubt it.
I know him.
Yeah, right.
I searched for him and I found him.
Millennium Falcon girl. Get her out of here.
So let's run into each other there. Let's do that. Chris Taylor's coming down. The Schmoes Know crew's there. Maude Garrett's going to be there. It's going to be a big Star Wars party down there. I was just there for WonderCon. There's a scoping out all the bars for this one. It's going to be fun, man. So I'm glad you're going.
Yeah, me too.
We can get you there. So tell us where to find you, where to follow your stories. Where can they see the Wookie Teeny? Take us through your social media connections.
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Landa, YouTube.com/Jennifer Landa. And I also have an Etsy store, which I just relaunched with my Micro Machine jewelry. It's Etsy.com/rocketsandrainbows. Hmm. And that's it.
Those things go together.
Yeah.
They do. Again, great. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, this has been a blast. And Jedi Alliance, of course, will be back next week with Mark Riley. You can watch the show on YouTube by going to youtube.com/popcorntalk. Subscribe there to get the entire lineup of Popcorn Talk shows. There's so much to choose from, like Profiles with Mansa Malone. They just had Michael Douglas on the show calling in to talk about Jack Nicholson last week. Big show. Guilty Movie Pleasures with Josh McCuga and Ben Begley. Box Office Breakdown with JT, Finstock, Sarah Stretton, and the crew. Meet the Movie Press, Marvel Movie News, DC Movie News. They got a lot more coming on the Popcorn Talk Network. Follow them on Twitter as well, at the Popcorn Talk. Follow us at Jedi Alliance. Don't forget to follow Schmoes Know, our live show every Thursday night from this studio, 6 p.m. PST. This week, if you're a fan of Jedi Alliance from Episode 1 and you want to see Maude and I work together, well, we just launched our new Game of Thrones show with Tiffany Smith called The Night is Dark. It is an audio version on my podcast feed, and there's a YouTube version available on Geek Bomb's YouTube page, which is Maude Garrett's company. But some bigger stuff coming that I can't say now with that show. But If you've been missing Maude and I on the same set yelling at each other, we're going to be co-hosting the Schmoes No Movie Show this week live at 6 p.m. PST with Josh McCuga, as the Schmoes are off doing something special. But we'll be holding down the fort, reuniting, because it feels so good. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like I said, Facebook, and on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for watching, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.